Snoop Dogg and D.I.
Guess who's back?
Still. Still doing that shit, Andre?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Check me out. It's still Dre Day.
Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. I'm Mark Cook, along with Scott Reynolds.
Hello.
And Mr. Trevor Sikkema.
Go ahead. Go
who's
ahead.
Running the board.
Make fun of my hat. Make fun of my hat.
I'm not saying anything about your hat. I'm not going to say anything about that ugly, dirty, stained
Florida Gators hat.
Florida Gators denim hat, which matches the jorts that he's wearing right now.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not wearing jorts. That's not
now, that other voice you hear laughing in the background is a familiar voice if you're in a familiar face if you're a Buccaneer fan, because he is the longest tenured Buccaneer on this roster, Mr. DeMar Dotson. Welcome, DeMar. Thanks for joining us, man.
Hey, I'm glad y'all got me.
Appreciate it. Hey, tonight up at Ford's, they built a custom burger just for you, a bison burger, served all the way with fried shrimp on it. How was it?
It was real good. I mean, I enjoyed it. I'm not a big red meat eater, but it was good.
It was good.
It was real good.
He was already talking to him in the back about buying a franchise. So
he's
like thinking about what he's going to do after football.
I think I got my cook back there. So I'm,
he's already, he already hired the cook that they had back there. And listen, guess what the cook's name is?
What?
Guess. It starts with a K.
Ken.
Quan. What are the odds of that? I've
Quan.
Never heard anybody named Quan until Quan Alexander was drafted.
Yeah. Are you kidding, Quan?
And this is two Quans.
Damn,
so it's not the same Quan. It's not Quan Alexander, but his name is Quan.
And he's from the same hometown my daddy's from.
That's crazy, too. I heard y'all talking about that.
Fort Pierce, Florida. So.
Damn. Well, the cool thing is we're here at the Ford's Garage restaurant in West Chase, one of their newer locations.
Yep.
We're at Wesley Chapel last time with kicker Pat Murray. So we probably brought in the shortest Buccaneer. Now we've got the tallest Buccaneer at 6'9".
It's not probably the shortest. Pat Murray may be the shortest Buccaneer ever.
I think he is.
He might be, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He's like 5'0". He's 4'13".
Yeah. So, DeMar, I want to kind of jump right into this because obviously expectations were high last year. Hard Knocks giving you a lot of exposure.
Mm-hmm.
You were the trendy pick to make the playoffs. PewterReport.com and other media outlets had you guys winning 10 games. I know that's what you guys were thinking, too.
Yeah.
In your opinion, now that you've had some time to rewind and take a look back, where did the 2017 season go wrong?
I mean, I think that's one thing that too many people don't have an answer for. But I go back to the beginning in training camp. I think that, you know, people's giving us too much hype.
Yeah.
You know, with the Hard Knocks coming in and with the people already putting us in the playoffs and putting us in the Super Bowl, and we haven't did anything. I think we got a young team like that. I mean, you would think that you hope that it wouldn't go to the, you know, people here, but I think that's just for giving us too much hype for not doing nothing. I think that was one of the bad mistakes that, you know, we kind of bought into. I think Dirk was trying to preach it, you know, in the beginning, saying that, you know, don't let this get to you. You know,
you gotta earn it.
Yeah,
right.
We haven't did anything yet. You know, I can tell that he felt it coming, but you know what I'm saying? That's just something that, you know, I just wish that we wouldn't have. It was too much distraction. Hard Knocks, I hated it from the beginning when it was coming in because I knew it was going to be a distraction. And I'm not saying that it was, but, you know, we was a better team than what we put on tape.
When you talk about, let's just go to Hard Knocks real fast. I just want to ask this. When you say it was a distraction, you know, and people asked us, is it going to be a distraction? What was the distracting part? Was it because maybe some of the younger guys played up to the cameras a little too much, kind of got caught up in the hype themselves because of it, or was it the actual presence of those guys there with cameras all the time, or was it both of that?
I think everywhere you looked around was a camera. So, I mean, you got some guys that love the cameras, some guys that kind of shy away from the cameras. But, you know, when you got cameras around, you got guys who are looking for attention, you know, they're going to do things for the camera. You know, because you want that 5 seconds or that 10
yep.
seconds, or you know, you want to better watch Hard Knocks and hope that they put your stuff on Hard Knocks. So, you know, it's just a human nature. You know, I'm a guy who, you know, really don't really care about the camera or wasn't looking to be on Hard Knocks, but you know, some people really wanted that. You can see them kind of, you know, glancing for that attention. Because I mean, it is a cool thing to go back, you know, in the 10 o'clock and watch HBO and and see you on TV.
Right.
You know, yeah. The only love they gave me is when I'm peeing out there on the fence at the end of the training camp. I was like, my goodness, man. Been here 9 years, and you know the best you give me? I was kind of disappointed, but that's okay, man. I won't hold it against them.
All right, you have been here 9 years. You're entering year number 10 as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer with zero playoff appearances. Like, are you just angry that this team has not gotten over the hump yet? I mean, what is your mindset? Because, you know, there are rookies here that came in last year and performed well, but probably bought into the hype because they figured, oh, well, this team was 9-7 last year. I'm here now. DeSean Jackson's here, you know, Chris Baker. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, we should be 10-6, 11-5. That's probably what they were thinking. But going into year 10, I mean, are you angry that this team hasn't put it all together, that the mindset hasn't been what it's needed to be to power through some of these games and win them?
Yeah, it's disappointing because, you know, I've been on some bad football teams, you know, of course, you know, my 9-plus, you know, years in Tampa. And I thought for sure that, you know, this would be a playoff team. I don't know if Tampa almost got a curse on it or what, but – you know, I felt that, you know, this for sure, we had everything we needed. We brought in some key weapons on offense. I believe, you know, we had some good pieces on defense, and I thought that we was a playoff team too.
So you going back over your 9 years, going into your 10th, so you can sense at the beginning of the year, like you knew there were some bad football teams you were on, and you knew you probably weren't going to make the playoffs. But this year it felt different to you, right?
It did. You know, I felt that not only did we have some a good group of guys, I thought we had a good group of guys that bought in and want to win. I mean, you got a guy like Jameis. You know, he's a rah-rah guy, but he's genuine about winning. You know, the guy willing to put in all the work. He's willing to come to work every day, and he's serious about winning. So when you got a guy like that, even though he's young, he's your leader, but he's sincere. Like he's not no fake. It's not a joke.
Right.
You know, guys make fun about him, you know, in the media about, you know, eating W's and stuff. And he's kind of young, and he don't know how to channel in all that energy that he have. But you know, he's sincere about winning. So when you got a guy like that, you can build your football team around and your organization around. You know, you got this team gonna go places. So I really thought we were gonna win this year. I thought we were gonna win.
What was this the hardest working team that you've been on? I mean, you know, you sense what people do in the offseason, and you talk about Jameis, and Kwan took on that leadership role too, wanted to be the Jameis of the defense. These guys work together, even organized activities outside of football. I mean, was this as close and a harder working football team, and is that part of the reason you're so surprised that things didn't pan out? Or have you been on teams that were tighter and worked harder?
I've been on some teams. I mean, I was with, you know, Davin Joseph, you know, and German Trueblood and Jeff Fanes. And I remember in the lockout in 2011 when they organized and bought the whole offensive line and the guys went, I don't know, with Celso somewhere and just, you know, worked out. I wasn't part of it, but he took the whole offensive line and a lot of guys on the team and they went worked out. So I'd have been around leaders like, you know, right, Davin Joseph, who really like really worked his behind off. So mm-hmm. I wouldn't say if this might be the hardest working team, but if it's not the hardest working team, it's one of the.
All right, so out of 100% of your roster, okay, what's the percentage of the guys that really want to win and are putting forth the effort to do so compared to the percentage that's not? And either those players that aren't need to get their act together or they're going to be showing the door pretty quickly this offseason.
Yeah.
What's the percentage?
I never really sit down and came up with a percentage. But, you know, you can tell by being in that locker room so long, you can tell some guys that's sincere about winning.
Right.
And you can tell some guys that's not as sincere about winning. You know, because, if you're real sincere about winning, you know, losing going to hurt.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because you put in so much. I mean, going throughout training camp and going throughout the week and putting your body through so much, you know, it should hurt to lose because you invested in so much. So winning really don't hurt. I mean, really don't care that much. So, you know, you can tell that there's some guys in there that really don't care about it because after the game or getting on the bus, you know, you're back laughing.
Is it a handful of guys? Is it a dozen guys? I'm just trying to get a feel for the culture has to change, right? I mean, you have to have 100% of the guys going in the same direction to be one of those teams that comes out of nowhere like Jacksonville, for example, you know. They all got going in the same way.
Or the culture in New England. I mean, it's just it's a culture.
It's a winning culture.
They expect to win, and they know how to do it. It's a mature football team.
So is it a handful of guys? Is it a dozen guys? How much roster change does there have to be for everybody to go in the same direction and get this team to the playoffs?
Yeah, I don't think it's much, because if you look at the leadership, you look at Jameis, you look at the guys on defense, guys like Quan, and the guys like Jerry McCoy. I mean, you got some nuclear guys in some key situations.
Right.
So all you need is some pieces around it. And I think that's what, you know, we try to do last year and bring in some pieces around the guys that we already got.
Yeah.
So I don't think we fall off, you know, because you got a good linebacking core, you got a good quarterback, you got a great, you know, defensive tackle. Mm-hmm. You got some good guys and some good key positions. So we just need to bring some guys in that's going to supplement the guys that we already got. So we're not fall off.
Chris Baker wasn't one of those guys.
Well, I mean, I don't think that's my job to talk about Chris. You know, the organization felt that he wasn't one of those guys, so he let him go within 1 year after being a key free agent. So, I think that speaks for itself.
Right. One thing about Baker, I mean, were you close to the situation in that Panthers game? Where things got heated in the locker room?
No, actually, I wasn't even there because I was on injured reserve at the time.
Okay, I didn't know if you traveled with the team or not for that game.
I didn't travel. They don't let us travel.
But you probably heard some of the stories, and we're not going to ask you details of that. That's private in the locker room. But is that the kind of thing that needs to happen on a football team sometimes where your leaders like a Jameis or a Quan or a Levante, you know, get so mad and frustrated, you know, and Is that what's needed going into next year? Is holding each other accountable?
I think that's one thing that we lack. You know, not just from Jameis, but as a whole team. You know, guys holding each other accountable. I think it was just too buddy buddy. You know, guys don't want to speak up. They see stuff and they just don't talk about it. So I think if we're gonna be anything, we got to hold each other accountable, because you hear guys that come from teams that win and they say, man, you know, everybody held each other accountable. You know, and then when somebody can hold you accountable, you can go and talk to a guy and, you know, he can put his pride down. It's not, you know, why you come and call me out.
Right.
And holding people accountable is not like shouting in front of their coaches and trying to be seen. It's going up to your buddy, you know, one-on-one and say, hey, man, you know, we need better than that. You know, we need you to win. You know, and guys will respect that more than anything. So, because if you try to be fake with it, you know, guys will notice that. We grown men, so, you know, we're not – going to always accept if you try and just call me out in front of the head coach or try and call me out in front of a positioning coach just to be seen. But if you sincere about it and genuine and showing love and care that you really want to win, you know, guys buy into it. So I think that we, you know, whatever happened in that Panthers game, I think, you know, it was too late. You know, waited, you know, 1-2 games for the season over. I think that's something that should have been picked up, you know, early into the year or going to training camp. So I think that's something that can roll over to next year. The guys say, man, if we're going to get what we need to get, everybody got to hold everybody accountable, and we got to get on board.
How hard is it, and you're a guy who's earned a couple contracts with this team, how hard is it to, you know, people talk about contract years. Doug Martin had one a couple years ago and played well in that. You played well in your contract year. How hard is it, though, to not rest on your laurels, to work hard in that contract year but come back motivated after you get paid? I mean, it's human nature, right? I mean, 100%. It's human nature.
It is human nature. That's what I was just about to say. It's human nature. Like, when you work hard for something, then you finally get it, and then it's like a fresher breath out. Like, okay, whew, I finally got it. And then your human nature kick in, and like, you know, you don't work as hard or you don't put in the effort that it took to get that contract.
Right.
And that's why a lot of guys who, you know, get these big free agent signings, and they come to teams, and once you get it, you know, you kind of slack off a little bit. And if you don't have that mentality, that deep ball already inside you, then it's gonna look bad for you. And I think that's what happened to a lot of free agents, that once they get that money, you know, they kind of slack off. But, you know, me, a mentality, I feel like if you're gonna give it to me, man, I want to work more hard and show you that I deserve this.
Yeah.
Because the harder you work, the longer you're going to be able to play out that contract, right?
Exactly.
You want to get into that third, fourth year of that deal, because that's where the money is a lot of times.
Exactly. You're right.
You know, since we're talking about contract extensions and all that, I mean, Doug Martin got a contract extension, and he had that one big contract year, the Pro Bowl, and the team parted ways with him the other day, just like they did Chris Baker, after two very disappointing seasons. Did you see that coming in terms of Doug Martin? He had, you've been here for his entire career. Mm-hmm. He had the phenomenal rookie year, Pro Bowl, 1,400 yards, two subpar seasons where he was injured, maybe wasn't running the same, then has the contract year, you know, and got the contract extension. The Bucks had to re-sign him. I mean, it was Dirk's first year. Yeah. He flourished in Dirk's offense in 2015. But these last 2 years, can you look at Doug's performance any other way than disappointing over these last couple years?
Well, the thing about Doug is I respect Doug as a running back, and I respect him more as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And what made me feel bad more about Doug, not the fact that Doug wasn't getting the yards that he deserved, is that we as an offensive line wasn't doing a good job blocking for him. And I think that throughout the course of this season, that's something that George Wahab tried to harp on, that we can't control what happens in the running back room. Running back room got a running back coach. So what we can control is what we do in this room, and that's what we were doing a poor job at. Even though Doug was taking the brunt of the load, we at times wasn't doing. Doug had nowhere to run.
Right, I understand that, and I'm not disagreeing with you at all. But when you look at Peyton Barber behind the same line, I mean, able to get almost 4 yards of carry, in some games got over 4 yards of carry. And, like you look at the Saints game, Doug got 3 carries for minus 3 yards. Mm. He got a series. He got an opportunity. And Peyton Barber's running behind the same makeshift offensive line, and he's plowing ahead, getting 4 yards of carry.
Yeah. No.
Is part of that the style of the running back? I mean, Doug and Peyton are two different style running backs. And was it a case of a guy like Peyton Barber could perform better because of his running style behind the offensive line that had a lot of injuries and didn't perform as well as to be expected?
No, I mean, I don't think nobody can sit up there and say that Peyton Barber is a better running back than Doug Martin.
Right.
I mean, that'd be foolish to sit there and say that.
Absolutely. And
I would never say that. So
Well, yeah. In terms of sheer talent, you're exactly right, and I agree. But in terms of performance, though,
and production, production wasn't there.
It wasn't there, and it was with Peyton. That's my point.
Yeah, and I can see it, because you got a guy like Peyton that's hungry and determined. And guy that's sitting out there chopping at the bit and wanting the opportunity, and he get in the game, man, he's running with his head down, pawling, and getting as many yards as he can get. So
that's
a guy that's hungry. And we all have been in that boat that once we get that opportunity, we try to, make the best out of it. But is he a better running back than Doug? I don't think at this point in his career he's not.
Right. Which leads me to my next question. Is Peyton Barber good enough to really be a
featured back?
A featured back, or at least a 1-2 punch back. Because, I mean, this is a guy that started fourth on the depth chart, right, at running back. I mean, he was number four. You had Doug, you had Charles Sims, you had Jacquizz Rodgers, then you had Peyton. And like you said, he made the most of his opportunity. When he got the chance to run, he earned more carries.
Yeah.
But is he good enough to be a feature back?
I mean, to me, I think that's to be determined, because I don't think that to be a feature back right now, I don't think that he showed enough, or I don't think he had enough carries or enough reps to really say this guy is your number one back. And I don't think nobody sitting up there stairs and saying that, this is our number one back right now, because you ain't seen enough.
Right.
But
at least he did enough to earn an opportunity, to earn some more looks in camp and see where he fits on the depth chart.
Oh, no doubt. He earned that opportunity to come back and compete for an opportunity. But did he earn that right to be handed a job? No.
Donovan Smith gets a lot of grief from Buccaneer fans.
Yeah.
And this organization believes in him so much so that they're going to be working on a contract extension for him sooner rather than later. I don't think they're going to want to let him get into the free agency market, because offensive linemen get paid in free agency. You know that.
Left tackles more than right tackles.
I don't know that personally.
You haven't experienced that personally, but you've seen enough of those deals out there, right?
Okay, I got you.
So, Donovan Smith, tell me about what he does that's underappreciated, what he does that might be undervalued outside of one Buccaneer place.
Yeah, now this is the thing about Donovan. Donovan got the potential to be the best left tackle in the NFL. And that's not me saying it. That's me when on guard on the shoe. That's what I believe. I think the thing about Donovan, he just plays in spurts. And I think it will frustrate the coaches and the organization about him, because you see so much good in him and so much greatness in him, and then you'll see something like, man, what was that? But you know what I'm saying? If he stays locked in on every single play and play the way that he knows how to play, the guy can dominate the game. Because yeah. you'll see spurts in the game where the guy dominate. And then you'll see a play where you say, well, that's not Donovan. So, you know what I'm saying? He takes plays off. And I think that's the inconsistency what the fans get on a lot. Because, you know, one thing about offensive linemen, you give up one sack, you can have 60 good plays,
yep.
and you have one bad play, and that's all they're talking about for whole week. We need a new right tackle. We need a new left tackle because he gave up a sack. Man, but you just kicked the man butt for 59 other plays.
Yeah.
And that's the downfall of being an offensive lineman.
You have to be perfect, don't you?
You got to be perfect.
You have to be perfect.
You know what I'm saying?
And you know what, Don? I just called you Donovan. You know what, DeMar? I've always said this. Offensive line are the only guys that don't get to tap their helmet and say, I need a break.
Yeah.
Every you other position on the field,
in.
Other than a quarterback.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you see receivers tap their helmet, you know, defensive lineman, I need a breather here.
What you're saying guys, is there's no nickel offensive line.
No.
Right?
No. There's no nickel offensive line. I mean, and you're right. It is unfair to a degree. And I'll be the first. I beat up Donovan bad last year on our most disappointing list because I saw what you saw, those spurts where – he could be physical and he could dominate guys and he could pancake guys. And then sometimes it looked like his feet was in the mud or he would grab and hold because of bad technique. And, you know, the consistency factor. How do you get – and, again, you being a veteran guy who's earned a couple contracts, obviously you figured out that consistency thing. Is it just a mentality? Because as far as physical talent goes, I'd say – I mean, he's as good as you guys have in that room physical-wise.
Yeah.
But how do you develop that mentality, and how do you develop that consistency?
Yeah, that starts with the individual. I mean, you know, a coach can't give you that, you know, and nobody else can give you that. That's going to start with Donovan just saying, man, listen, I want to dominate this game, and I want to dominate this league, and I know I can be the best left tackle in this game, and I just got to go out there and do it. So that's a mentality that starts within a man himself, man looking himself in the mirror and saying that, you know, this is what I want to do. And he got the potential to do it.
Does some of that come with age and maturity? He's still a young guy. I'm not trying to make excuses for him, but I mean, but as you get older, you know, and you're 31.
I'm 32.
32. Okay, yeah. You're 32.
Good night, old man. Get you a senior discount at Ford's.
There you go. Exactly. Is that something that you would expect him to do pretty quickly? If he's going to be consistent, if he's going to get those bad plays out of his system, it's going to be pretty quick, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise. What you see is what you get from him, right?
Yeah, I think, and to me, another thing I think is, it's all about how you come in this league. Because like me, I came in a different way. I came in as an undrafted free agent,
a
trial free agent that had to work his behind up. Every opportunity I get, I had to make the most of it. So I didn't get that opportunity to sit there and say, hey man, you know, you go out there, you play good, you play bad. I mean, you got to choke like, you know, every opportunity I get, I had to choke the life out of it. So, you know what I'm saying? I guess when you come in as a draft pick and you kind of handed something, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like a little bit different kind of mentality a little bit.
Yeah.
So I couldn't really, you know, relate to it.
You used to start fights.
Oh, man, tell me
about it. Used to start fights just to every get
day,
noticed.
Every day.
I know.
When I go into training camp,
yep.
I'm saying, I'm going to fight somebody.
That's
somebody
right.
going to know it, man. And it's not that I whoever put it like that. I didn't come in there with the mentality of starting to fight.
Right.
It's just that I was doing things that if you a man, you ain't gonna let another man do that to you.
Yeah.
So I throw you down to the ground. I punch you in the helmet. I punch you in the face.
Yeah.
And I do what I got to do.
I don't know if you heard this, but speaking of fights, Mark Cook is going to fight Jude Ijeberima. Did you hear about that?
Going to fight who?
Jude Ijeberima.
I'm mad at Jude. You know why, DeMar?
Oh, Jude. Oh,
because he cost you guys the playoffs 2 years ago when you guys had the Raiders beat on fourth down. And he held that guy.
You
should have
so
been in
lame.
The playoffs. You
You're
should
still hanging
fight
on to
Jude.
That.
You still holding grudges,
you
man.
You should want to fight Jude.
You still holding grudges.
Jameis should have been a playoff quarterback his rookie year. You should have went to your first playoffs. Gerald should have went to – but it's his fault because he held a stupid Raiders receiver on the other side of the play.
One of
I'm
these
still
days,
mad.
I'm telling you, one of these days, Jude is just going to rock you.
Oh, is that the one?
He's just
that one we had
you
they,
right
somebody,
in the face.
They threw an interception, but it got called back.
I don't remember all of it. All I know is it was fourth down, incomplete, game
oh,
over.
Yeah.
Going to overtime.
Yeah.
It's all his fault.
It wasn't Jude's fault.
It was his fault.
Team game, right?
I don't know what happened. I remember the holding call, what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I didn't even realize it was on Jude until just now.
Oh, it was on Jude. I watched that play every single day of my life.
I just pray.
We should have beat Oakland, though. We should have beat Oakland.
has his camera phone going and is getting on video, because that will blow up on Twitter.
So you still holding Jude to that?
I'm still holding it to him. And every year, the last year, he kept getting hurt, so he had to avoid me, if you've noticed.
That is true.
But he got cleared this week.
Yeah.
You also got cleared. Talk about what, now that you're off of the injured situation, I know you guys aren't really allowed to talk too much about the injuries when they happen and when you're on injured reserve, but it had to be tough, a pretty significant injury, for you to come off the field and miss those last few games. What was that like for you, and what exactly happened?
Well, when it was, the injury was I tore my PCL, so when I did it in the game, I actually did it in like the second quarter, so I finished the whole game. I went to halftime, like, damn, you know. I came off the field and mm-hmm. got checked out, you know, and I put some pressure on them, like, damn, I couldn't really, like, put a whole lot of weight on it, but I said, man, I'm going back into the game. So I put a brace on and went back and finished out the game and hopped around on one leg for the whole game.
Yeah,
rest of the game.
I remember that.
Yeah, and, you know what I'm saying? And nobody saw it take me out of the game. I was like, man, who looking upstairs and see me hopping around, man?
Well, in fairness, Leonard Wester would have came in. So a one-legged DeMar Dotson. Hey. I'm just kidding, Leonard. He's a good guy.
Yeah,
I like Leonard.
Man, yeah.
Hold on. Here's the thing, right? You were a basketball player mm-hmm. at Southern Miss.
Yeah.
Right? You got good hands.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. How in the world does Leonard Wester catch a touchdown pass? You've been here for 9 years. We've seen Donald Penn caught a couple touchdown passes back in the day. Why aren't you getting dialed up for the offensive tackle option?
But you see, they gave Leonard that play when I was on injured reserve.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Was that going to be your play?
Ain't no way I would have sat there in that room, man, while they gave Leonard Wester a pass and wouldn't have gave me one. So as soon as I go on injured reserve, they give it to Leonard, man. Hey, they knew what they were doing.
if the ball's coming your way, though, right, you're grabbing it. You're not letting that thing drop.
I would think so. I don't want to jinx myself now to give me one next year, and then
I drop
it.
You got confidence,
you be holding
hands,
me,
though, right?
You be holding me or calling me.
Well, if it costs you a playoff year, yes, we're going to fight.
I'd be 5 years retired. That DeMar Dotson, I hate him.
But seriously, it's like cleaning glass for you. It's like rebounding, right? Like if the ball's up in the air, you're the offensive tackle in the end zone on the little tight end play. I mean, you're catching it.
I would think I'd catch it.
Were you much of a scorer, or were you a defensive guy when you played basketball?
I was more of a big body rebounder.
Shot blocker?
Get in the way. I couldn't shot block nobody, but get in the way, knock you to the ground, maybe foul you a little bit. You know, that's the only thing I would go. I could score a few little points now.
You were a goon out there is what you're saying,
right? Yeah, that's all. Right? I'm best of what I was.
Yeah.
You know,
You were the bully out there.
In high school, I was scoring now.
Yeah.
When I got to college, they kind of limited my game. I was better than what they try to limit to. I'm a whole lot better, but my coach limited my game.
Go ahead.
Speaking of red zone, that's a huge problem for you guys. You guys move the ball at will in a lot of games. You finish second in the league in first downs behind only the New England Patriots. You got yards aplenty, but inside the 20, you know, whether it's a penalty, a botched snap, drop pass, bad throw, whatever it was. What has to happen in the red zone for you guys to put more points on the board? Do you realize you score just under 21 points per game, 20.9 points per game? If you had scored 25 points, just 25, in every single game, you guys are 10-6 last year.
Yeah.
What has to change in the red zone?
We got to come away with 7 instead of 3s.
How does that happen?
Dirk preached on it. And we just got to finish it. You know, we get all the way down and we end up kicking field goals. And
we're missing field goals.
I'll miss field goals too, but that's another story. But we got to finish drives. I don't know what it takes to finish drives. I mean, we always end up shooting ourselves in the foot. You know, it may be a penalty here or, like you said, a bad snap here. And a lot of things that what was killing us was our own, forced errors that we shooting our own self in the foot. So that's something that we have to do a better job and, clean up our own errors.
You know who else I want to fight?
Oh.
Evan Smith.
Oh,
that
man.
Patriots game, hands
Dude,
to the face.
You're not gonna fight Evan
hands
Smith.
To the
you're
face.
Not fight Evan Smith.
A hands to the face
That's
call cost you guys a touchdown. The Nick Folk comes in, misses the field goal. Who knows? That could have been the difference in your
he
season right there.
You.
No. He would just talk me to death, right, DeMar? Evan Smith just talks all the time, don't he? I would eventually surrender if he started talking.
Evan, 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 Alabama guy. I don't know if you want to, you know, be messing around with Evan like that, man.
All right, I'll take my chances with Jude.
Yeah,
never
take
mind.
A chance with Jude, man. Yeah. He got coming off an injury too, so he might just go off that leg.
One of the coaching changes happened on your side of the ball. Todd Monken was the wide receivers coach, giving that up. Skylar Fulton takes over that role. Now Todd's going to be a true walk-around offensive coordinator. He can pop into your meetings, pop in the tight end room, quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers. He's got that flexibility now. How do you envision that type of role for him, helping Dirk and maybe helping with some better play calls in the red zone? Or how do you see that playing out? Is that a good move, do you think?
I think it's a good move because it helps Dirk be a head coach. You know, I think Dirk tried to keep so much grass on the offense, and he was worried about so much stuff. So, you know, I can understand. So when some of your baby, you don't want to let it go. You know, and now that he getting an opportunity to thrust it over to Monk and let Monk be what he, you know, what they brought him in here for, to be offensive coordinator. And I don't think there's not one person in this building that don't think that Monk can handle it. You know, so, but, you know, but when he first got here, you know, even though Monk had that title as offensive coordinator,
right,
you knew Dirk was the offensive coordinator plus the head
sure.
coach. So,
yeah,
know what I'm saying?
Play caller.
Yeah, it was a play caller. So, Monk had that title, but it was like, hey, we ain't going to give you too much here.
All right, so now he's the offensive coordinator. Do you know where he coached before he came
Southern
to Tampa?
Southern Miss. How can I not
who,
know that?
Who also went to Southern Miss, Lamar? Who also went to Southern Miss?
Who also went
to Oh, you
me.
Did.
Yeah.
That's right. So maybe you go to offensive coordinator Todd Monken and say, hey, you know, Leonard Wester got his touchdown. Like, you got to dial me up in the red zone here.
There you go, man. You know what? I didn't even think about that.
There you go.
You just put a bug in my ear.
I'm here to help.
I'm going to get it.
I'm here to help, Jamar.
Have y'all
been here going to Tennessee and they ain't throw me a ball
seriously
yet?
Seriously, though. Have y'all,
I mean, that's a problem, man.
Have y'all ever had a quarterback at Southern Miss? There's never been a good quarterback out of Southern Miss, has there?
The greatest one of Trent all
Dilfer,
time,
Trent
man.
Dilfer did not go to Southern Miss. That was Fresno State. He's the greatest of all time.
The greatest of all time, won the Southern Miss.
Yeah, I know. He beat my Noles in 1989. I remember that game.
We talked several times about Caleb Benenock, a guy that you took under your wing, and a guy that got some playing time at your expense, unfortunately.
No.
But he got out there at right tackle. You're rooting him on, right? You're mentoring to him. How do you think he fared? Because when you and I talked to training camp, you said, hey, he finally looks like a tackle. He put on some weight. He's gotten bigger, hitting the weight room. He looked like a guard in 2016. He looked like a tackle in 2017. How is his progress? And do you feel that you know, he has the ability to be the heir apparent whenever you pass the baton to him? Can he take over right tackle at some point in time?
You know, Caleb, they come out with the top, you know, top tackles and top right tackles and top defense ends every year. So, I don't know. It's the Bleacher Report. So, he did the top 35 right tackles. And Caleb was ranked number 33 and played in four games.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So guy played four games and get that year that in 2015 when I was on injured reserve and played in three or four games, hey, I didn't even get ranked.
You had a hell of a year too, man.
No, I'm talking about 2015 when I was
15.
Hurt.
Yeah, okay.
And I played in four games.
That's right.
They didn't even rank me.
Yeah.
And Caleb played four and get ranked number 32. So I was jealous, man.
But you had a good year last year, though.
Yeah,
it was one of your better years.
I ain't talking about last year.
I know, but I'm talking about last year.
Okay.
You had a good year.
I was okay.
It was okay? Yeah. I thought it was one of your better years.
What is your strength, DeMar? I mean, when I look at your game over the last 9 years, I would say just consistency. You don't really worry. I don't think this staff and I don't think fans really worry about the right tackle position. They know you're going to be there. You're going to do your thing. You give up a sack occasionally. You might have a false start or whatever it is. I picked on you year before last because you led the team with penalties, and you got mad at me for pointing that out.
You love me one day, you hate me next day.
Now, you know,
hate relationship.
Just don't cost this team a playoff game with a false start, and I won't fight you. But I forgot what I was going to say. What were we talking about? Remind me, huh? Oh yeah, so you're is that how you like to look at yourself? Do you like to look at yourself as that nasty physical guy, as this dominant run blocker, great pass blocker, or an all around just consistent guy? Is that what you take the most pride in?
No, I'm gonna be honest with you. I take pride in pass protecting. You know, I can probably pick up my run game a little bit, in which I know I can. But you know, I believe that as an offensive tackle, the one thing that gets you driven out of this league is most is getting a quarterback hit.
Yeah.
Because that's what everybody see. That's what the fans see. That's what the media see.
Now, that's the highlights on ESPN.
That's highlight, man. Y'all really not paying attention to see how much run. I mean, in a safe case you do, but when somebody getting a quarterback and knocked around and hit and all that kind of stuff, you see that.
Especially when he's the number one overall draft pick a few years ago, too. I mean, he's a franchise quarterback. People get extra mad when Jameis Winston goes down.
Exactly.
And I think that's part of some of the hate that Donovan got this year, you know what I mean? He gave up a few sacks, and I think it was that Arizona game, New Orleans game when he got driven. He gave up a sack there, and that knocked Jameis out for the next few weeks. So I think part of some of the venom for Donovan was that, you know, specifically. So you take pride in that. But something that we've talked about over the years, you being, you know, 7'15" or however tall you are, it's not
7'15".
Yeah.
Did you graduate from high school?
Yeah, Plant City High School, 1988.
I never did the background check on you, and I never got the GPA.
It's all on microfilm. I can't record. It's not digital, Scott. We can't. Okay. I can't pull up any records. But I graduated.
Well, I was 3 years old.
Thanks for reminding me of that, Grandpa. You're the old man on the football team, and you were three when I was in high school. Wow. Okay. So I technically could be your father.
But anyway.
Okay.
You already have a son on the team, Alan Cross.
That's true.
Oh, wow. Man, y'all do look alike.
Stop it. I do not.
I did not notice that.
Robert Ayer started that last year. It went from me being his brother to his dad. Late in the year, I was his grandpa. I aged a lot in 2017, apparently.
Hey, the 2017 season aged all of us, okay? Playing it, us having to cover it, right?
But it's 6'9", DeMar. Getting a bend, because you hear terms when guys are scouting guys, you know, a bend and getting a low base. Being tall, you take up a lot of space, but how difficult is that something you have to remind yourself on pass plays that I've got to lower my butt?
I take pride in bending. Like every time when I work out during off season and I'm working on bending all the time, I think when I lose my bend, I think that, you know, my game as a player is going to be done. So I think bending is important. And you see so many tackles, they bend at the waist.
Yeah.
And I take pride in bending in hips because that's what keeps me with a low sense of gravity. It keeps me anchored and it will take on bull rush as a big guy. So I take a lot of pride in bending. You know, even during the season, I do a lot of bending stuff.
Let's talk about two offensive linemen here. One guy that you used to play next to, Ali Marpet, moved to center.
Mm-hmm.
Is he a better center or a better guard?
At this point in his career, I think he's a better guard, but I think he has the potential to be a real good center. But I think that at this point, he's a better guard than he is center because the guy never played center before.
Right.
You know, so
last year was essentially a rookie year again for that guy.
No doubt. And I think for a guy who had never did it before to come in and do it as good as he did it.
Did a pretty good job.
Yeah, just shows the talent that he is, the work effort the guy got, and the future of the guy.
And the smarts, because you got to be smart to play center, right?
Yeah, you got to be smart. So he picked it up, man. Coach worked with that guy. He did whatever he had to do to learn the system, make the calls, and guy picked it up in a short period of time.
Now let's talk about J.R. Sweezy, the guy that replaced him next to you.
Yeah.
Tough situation. Missed a whole year of football with a back injury, had surgery. I don't know that he had the season he wanted to have in his first year back. What can you say about J.R. and about, you know, how he fared during the season? It's tough missing a full year for an offensive lineman who's got to be in a constant bend mode and have a back injury that you're coming off of.
Yeah.
How would you assess this play?
Well, Sweezy, you know, one thing about him, he was chopping at the bit to get back. You know, then once JL was able to get back, it was good to have him. You know, I don't think JL had the season that he probably wanted to have as a player. And that just been honest, you know. We can always, you know, look back and be honest about the situation, you know. But, you know, one thing about JR, he's physical. And you know that, you know, when you step on the field, you're getting a physical football player. You know, it might not look always pretty, but you know the guy going to be physical. And a lot of things that, you know, he got to clean up, that we all got to clean up, you know, technique and things like that. But the guy going to be physical 100%.
One last question for me. Greatly appreciate your time here at this West Chase Ford's Garage. And right on cue, West Chase Ford's Garage. There's the horn. 32 years old. How many more years do you envision playing? I'm not trying to run you off. You've been a great friend of PeterReport.com over the years.
I'm on my mouth, Scott, man.
I'm not running you off. But in your minds, do you want to go as long as you're healthy? I mean, do you want to go into the mid-30s, late-30s? You want to just see how long you can go? Or do you have a number in your head where, hey, I put in, this would be year 10, I want to put it 12, 14 years and I'm done? Or what's that number for you?
Yeah, well, I never gave myself a number. You know, I think one, it was just a blessing for God to give me an opportunity to play this game, because I came from a guy who coming here doing rookie minicamp with basketball shoes on and undrafted free agent, you know, and to be blessed and graced to going into 10 seasons here. So, you know, I'm not going to give it a number, because I might give it a number, man, that's where I stop at. So I just want to say, man, as long as I feel good, I'm healthy, and God giving me the ability to do it, and I can do it at a high level, and I'm going to keep going. You know, and I know the risk behind it, and I know as long as the reward outweighs the risk, then I keep going. But when the risk outweighs the reward, it's time for me to shut it up.
When you finish, you want it to be in red and pewter?
Oh, no doubt about it. You know, I mean, I've been here for going on 10 seasons now, so why would I want to go anywhere else?
And get this team to the playoffs.
I want to go to the playoffs. You know, no doubt about it. I want to go to the playoffs.
Well, this has been.
I think we deserve that.
You deserve it. The fans deserve it.
Yeah.
The media deserves it. I'm just kidding. We don't deserve anything.
You deserve to go to the playoffs, Mark.
That would be nice. That'd be nice.
It would be a change, right? It'd
yeah.
be a welcome, refreshing
it,
change.
It would be weird to work a game in January.
When last time you been to the playoffs, Mark?
Huh?
When last time you been?
When I was in the stands in 1997, when the Buccaneers played the Lions at the very last game at Houlihan Stadium, that was the last Buccaneer playoff game I was at.
Yeah, I started the Giants game in 2007.
I started in 2011 with Pewter Report, and that was you guys were coming off a 10-6 season, and you guys haven't done well since then. So I may be the problem. You thought about a curse.
It
may be me.
You know, it could be me. Hey, I've been
here
10
years. Yeah,
you've
been here 10
years, too. One of you two,
it could be
right?
me.
I'm still
figured it out.
We're going to find out if it's me or you, bro.
Well, man, hey, I can't tell you how much we appreciate you doing this. Number one, helping us raise money for a great cause. The One Voice Foundation that Derek and What the Buck are a part of raises money each year in April with their golf tournament. Every year they raise around $30,000, and every single penny goes to pediatric cancer research. And I know that's an important cause for you and for this organization who does the Cut for the Cure every summer where you guys shave your heads. You know, just talk about being able to contribute to charity, how important that is. And I was talking to your cousins that are here. They said DeMar will always be blessed because he gives. He always gives. Just talk about what you feel is your responsibility to give to the community and to help out the less fortunate.
Yeah, and one thing an old person told me a long time ago is say, if you always want to stay blessed, you got to be willing to give. And I love giving, not just, you know, to the community, not just to, I like to give to people. And
right.
then a lot of things about with giving, you know, some people like to give and let the world know what they do.
Right.
You know, I believe when you give, you don't let your right hand know what your left hand do. So when I give, you give in secret. And
right.
the Bible say that God will reward it in openness. That what you do in secret, he'll reward it openness. So I love to give, and I don't need to give and let everybody know, and I don't need to be on the radio, or I need to be on the TV and so everybody can see me giving and get recognition from man. You know, when I give, I won't. And I want to give in secret, and I don't need no lights behind it. So most of 90% of stuff I do, nobody knows about it.
Right.
So that's what I
yeah, believe. We hear stories, you know, from time to time about things you've done, and I'm with you. You know, you like to give, but you don't need a pat on the back necessarily.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know you're doing the right thing, and you'll be blessed for it in the future. So
you know who else likes to give? Judai J. Burima. He's going to give you a black eye and a bloody lip, man.
Look, man, he better be just glad he's healthy, because if he tangles with me, he's going to spend another year on injured reserve.
We'll see about that.
He don't want none of this. I don't want none of this either, to be honest with you. And I don't really, no one does. I'm surprised you've wanted any of this for 8 years, Scott. I mean, you haven't fired me yet. So
true.
Anyway, DeMar, thanks a lot, man. We really appreciate it. Good luck. Have a great offseason. Now that you're rehabbed, you can go to take a vacation.
Yeah, Bahamas.
Yeah, me and Scott
Bahamas,
and Trevor will join you down
yeah.
in the Bahamas in a couple weeks. We'll have a good time.
Oh, come on, man. Yeah,
no, appreciate
we'll show hang out.
Yeah, let's do it.
No talking football, though.
No.
All the good stuff going on in Bahama, what goes on in Bahama, stay there.
You're damn right it does, yes. You're damn right.
All right, well, we appreciate it. We appreciate all of our listeners. And we appreciate Ford's Garage for hosting this great event. Make sure you go check out the Ford's locations. They're in Brandon. They're in Wesley Chapel. They're in Countryside now. They're now here at the West Chase location. They've got locations in Estero, Dearborn, Michigan. They're opening up new locations in Lakeland and also Orlando coming very soon. So check them out. Let them know the Pewter Report sent you. Great burgers. You enjoyed your burger?
I enjoyed the burger. It was real good.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. So anyway, always enjoy the food here. The hospitality is wonderful. Check out Ford's Garage. We appreciate all that they do. For Trevor Sikkema, Scott Reynolds, and for DeMar Dotson, I'm Mark Cook signing off, saying we'll see you again next week for another edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast.
Out.